not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, great day to all you great stewards of the land out there today. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Big Thursday, 65 degrees. The wind's out of the west-northwest at 7 miles an hour. Gusting up to tropical storm gust, 10 miles an hour. It's a nice day, but get ready. Tomorrow is going to be a barn burner. I'll have your long ranger forecast coming up for you here shortly. But before I get to the grain prices, everybody say a special prayer, or keep them in your prayers, for the Silk family from Dale High and Carter, especially Jake and Charles. They were in a terrible accident yesterday, headed to the Oklahoma City yesterday on the I-40. So keep them in your prayers, because I know I will. Jake's they all call him Papa. I just call him Jake, but he's a wonderful guy. So anyway, we got cash prices for Oklahoma as of 11 a.m. Hard red winter wheat, $7.53. Man, it's dropping. Corn's hanging tight at $5.80 a bushel. Milo's at $5.83. And soybeans are at $11.86. Wheat futures plunged in overnight trading while soybeans were lower ahead of today's World Agriculture Supply and Demand Estimates report from the USDA. Snow is expected in northern parts of the southern plains starting tonight, which will improve soil moisture for hard red winter wheat that's growing in that area, said Donald Kinley, an agriculture meteorologist for Maxar. The storm will move across the High Plains tonight and to Friday with snow forecast after midnight, according to the National Weather Service. Still, little accumulation is expected. Wheat in Kansas, the biggest producer of grain in the United States, was rated at 58% good or excellent at the start of the week, according to the USDA. That's down from 62% a week earlier. Topsoil moisture in Kansas was 48% adequate or surplus, while subsoil moisture was at 51% was adequate or surplus. Soybeans are down overnight as the USDA is expected to raise its outlook for domestic and global ending stockpiles in today's WASD report. Inventories likely will be pegged at 352 million bushels by the government agency, which would be up from the November outlook of 340 million bushels. Global inventories will be seen at 104.1 million metric tons, up from 103.8 million a month earlier. Corn inventories in the United States will probably be forecast at 1.487 million bushels, down from slightly from last week's outlook of 1.493 billion bushels. Global stocks are pegged at 304.5 million metric tons, up from 304.4 metric tons in November. Underpinning prices, however, is persistent demand for U.S. supplies in recent weeks. Exporters reported sales of 1.84 million metric tons of corn to Mexico, 130,000 tons of soybeans to China, the USDA said yesterday in its report. That marks the seventh straight business day the government has reported large sales of U.S. ag products to overseas buyers. Wheat futures for March delivery dropped 10¾ cents to 7.83¾ a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures lost 10¼ to 8.01¾ a bushel. Soybean futures for November delivery fell 5¾ cents to 12.55¼ a bushel. Soy meal was up 20 cents to $357.40 a short ton, while soy oil declined 0.66 cents to 54.89 cents a pound. corn futures for delivery were up a quarter of a penny to $5.87.5 a bushel. Ethanol output rose to the highest level in 5 weeks, while inventories also gained in the 7 days that ended on December 3rd, according to the Energy Information Administration. Production averaged 1.09 million barrels a day, up from 1.35 million the previous week, and the highest level since October of 29. In the Midwest, by far the biggest producing region, output rose to 1.03 million barrels a day, up from 978,000 from a week earlier, and it's the highest since October 29th. The Rocky Mountain output was reported at 14,000 barrels a day, an average from 11,000 barrels a day a week earlier. West Coast production was also up at $9,000 a day from 7,000 barrels. And the East Coast output was unchanged from week to week at 12,000 barrels a day, where it has been for the last 30 days. The lone decliner for the week was the Gulf Coast production, which dropped to an average of 25,000 barrels a day, and that's down from 27,000 barrels a week earlier. Ethanol stockpiles in the week through December 3 rose to 20.464 million barrels. That's up from 20.129 barrels a week earlier, according to the EIA. Well, winter storms are going to roll through the parts of the northern plains starting this evening, bringing heavy snow and strong winds, according to the National Weather Service. In northern Nebraska and South Dakota, as much as 10 inches of snow is possible starting this evening and lasting through much of Friday. Wind gusts are forecast to be as high as 30 miles an hour. Further east in parts of northern Iowa, a few counties in southern Minnesota, and areas in the southwestern Wisconsin, a week earlier, weather advisory and a winter storm watch has been issued. A mix of rain, sleet, and snow will fall today, with up to a foot of snow possible. And there you have it. There's your grain report and updates on weather. Well, tomorrow, gentlemen, even if I seen some fires going this morning already, make sure those things are put out good, real good, this evening before you go to the house, because we are going to have one of those western Oklahoma windstorms tomorrow. They said from 11 p.m. to 5 tomorrow, the wind's going to be unreal, and the dust is going to be, it's going to be like a fog out there. So please make sure you secure those fires that you've started today, and don't be doing anything silly tomorrow. We got, almost had so much paperwork today. A couple things to go over with you. This coming December 20th at 5 o'clock on Monday, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will be having a special bull and replacement female sale. And this will be right after the weekly sale. The regular one on Monday. Early consignment already, 95 to 3 to 5 year old bred cows, 33 to 5 year old pairs, and 10, 16 to 19 month old registered Angus bulls. And there will be an evening meal provided by Farm Credit of Western Oklahoma. For more information, call the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction at 580-323-8766. This Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Hobart Stockyards, right there in the middle of Kiowa County at the city of Hobart, they're going to be having a special replacement cow sale. 17 Angus heifers weighing 1,100 pounds, bred to Son of Hoover. 62 Angus heifers weighing 1,000 to 1,100, all bred to Phoenix, low birth bull. Cleanup bull was Thomas Angus, who also was a low birth bull. Bred to calve in February, so don't miss these. Also, 24 red Angus cows to 3 to 5 year olds, bred to an Angus bull to calve in February. 20 calves, 4 to 6 years old. Northern bred, bred to calve in February. And 15 Charolais cross cows, 2 to 3 years old, bred to Red Angus bull. Also, 20 Red Angus bred heifers, spring calving fancy. 2 Red Angus, 4-year-old, low birth weight bulls. 1 Charolais bull, 18 months old. 2 Charolais bulls, 18 months old. And then there are also 2 Angus Simmental cross, 18 months old, on the bulls. So anyway, concessions will be available. Call Rex or Dustin down there at the Hobart Stockyards, and they've got more on consignment from my understanding. But this was put out last week, so this was already on consignment. So it's going to be a great sale at the Hobart Stockyards this coming Saturday at 11 a.m. Matter of fact, I've got a couple buddies going down there tomorrow to check some of the stuff out already in the stockyards down there. So be sure and attend that. Be right back after this. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus. Red Angus cattle are just more docile as a breed, just bred into them. It's been that way for years, since the inception of the breed. With two kids, and not just the kids, the older generation, they don't want to mess with bulls that are not gentle. Red Angus are more gentle to handle. We raise registered Red Angus, Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Are you in the market to buy or sell cattle? Then don't miss Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale's every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. Buyers can bid in person or online. To consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. That's 580-331-8547. Be sure and check out the market reports and each week's penny news. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Yep, I'm back. 66 degrees. The winds are just dying down to nothing. 5 miles an hour out of the west, northwest. 8 mile an hour gusts. So we'll have the Long Ranger coming up later in the hour. One more thing. Before I get on to some more ag news, we got the WOFC 07 Fire Boys present Pancakes with Santa and the Grinch this Saturday, the December the 11th at 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Pepsi Center in Clinton, Oklahoma. Bring your own camera, breakfast, crafts, photo booth, purchase tickets Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 301 North 4th Street in Clinton. And the WOFC, I found out what it is. It's the Western Oklahoma Family Care Center. So there it is. You'll have that one coming up. There's all kinds of stuff going on between now and Christmas. So there should be no excuses for you to be bored and at home doing nothing, because there's plenty going on. Hot off the press last night. From Congressman Frank Lucas. Tonight, the United States House of Representatives passed H.R. 5609, the Cattle Contract Library Act, introduced by Representatives Dusty Johnson from South Dakota, Henry Kohler from Texas, and Frank Lucas from Oklahoma. This bipartisan bill would direct the United States Department of Agriculture Marketing Service, the AMS, to establish a contract library for cattle producers, ensuring more transparency in the cattle market for producers. Congressman Frank Lucas released the following statement praising the passage of the Cattle Contract Library Act. Market strains have highlighted the vulnerabilities of our cattlemen and women face in and out every day. For far too long, cattle producers have operated under the volatile market conditions, forced to accept declining prices for live cattle while the cost of beef goes up at the grocery store. In order to guarantee greater competition, price discovery, and transparency, producers must be able to leverage marketing data while negotiating the price of cattle. And the Cattle Contract Library Act does just that, said Mr. Lucas. I thank my House colleagues for passing the Cattle Contract Library Act, which will help America's cattlemen and women better negotiate higher prices for their cattle. As Oklahoma farmers and ranchers knows, data drives marketing decisions, and the Cattle Contract Library Act will improve transparency and give more leverage to the Oklahoma cattle producers. I thank Congressman Johnson and Congressman Collier for their leadership on this issue, and I look forward to working with our Senate colleagues to move this legislation forward. Currently, USDA maintains a pork contract library and follows significant volatility in the cattle market, and the release of the July 2020 box beef and fed cattle price spread investigation report. The creation of the Cattle Contract Library was recommended by experts and stakeholders. Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association members are very appreciative of the House passage of this Cattle Contract Library Act led by Congressman Lucas. Price transparency is critical for cattle producers to negotiate that sometimes very volatile cattle market and position their cattle as positively as possible. We look forward to the Senate taking up this important bill and moving forward, said Michael Kisley, who is the Executive Vice President of the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. Oklahoma Farm Bureau members have battled volatility in the cattle market for generations, and their challenges have been only intensified in recent years. The Cattle Contract Library Act will provide much-needed information to our producers and empower them to make data-driven decisions when marketing their cattle. We commend Mr. Congressman Lucas and his colleagues for their support of the cattle producers both in Oklahoma and across the nation. Lucas has long been a leader of the cattle market reform since before his time as chairman of the House Agriculture Committee. Since 2019, Mr. Lucas has joined in introducing a number of legislation priorities for producers, including the Price Act and the Ramp Up Act, which supported transparency in the cattle market and helped increase capacity for small and medium-sized meat processors. The Cattle Contract Library Act of 2021 is supported by the American Farm Bureau Federation, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, U.S. Cattlemen's Association, National Farmers Union, Livestock Marketing Association, and the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. So there we go. We got a step forward. It's a step forward. So something should be going forward with that, so you could check on your stuff. Good news. Also going on a week from tomorrow, Elk City Livestock Auction will be having the regular sale in the morning, starting in the morning. So you guys go down there and check out the market. Call Brandon for any of your buying or selling needs if you haven't already. Get them cattle there today. Be easier to haul them today than it will tomorrow during the dust storm. But they will be having a special replacement female sale Friday, December 17th at 5 p.m. after the regular weekly sale. Consignments already include 180 bred heifers and 153 to 5-year-old bred cows. There will be an evening meal also provided by the Farm Credit of Western Oklahoma. And that'll be the Elk City Livestock Market Auction on South Highway 6 right here in Elk City. Remember, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. And one more thing before we go to break. Let me bring it up here. I got all kinds of things going. Man, I had fun today. Candace and I did the Tradio this morning. Not the Aggie-O, but the Tradio. And we had a blast on there. A lot of good people. Some people called in. I knew that that's kind of scary. But anyway, there's a gentleman out here south of Elk City that has a litter of livestock guardian pups. If anybody wants one, give him a call at 580-821-6567. And this guy raises some good dogs. And so anyway, these are livestock guardian pups. If you got goat, sheep, herd out there and you need some help with them, these are the ones to do it. I promise you, they're go-getters. So anyway, if you got any questions on that, just give me a text in on the KECO Ag text line at 580-225-9697. It's wide open every day during my show. Got any comments to make, anything you want anybody to know out there, or your point of view on something that's readable, and I can read it on the air, which is, if you know what I mean, you guys don't realize how many friends in low places I got out there. But I got some good friends in high places, too. But anyway, we're streaming live on Facebook. And we also are online at KECOFM.com. If you missed the show today or missed part of the show, you can always go back to there or even go back to Facebook. So anyway, having a great time. Well, I'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, December 6th. 2,080 head were sold. 10 head of steers at $499 brought 182. 6 at $585 brought 144. 140 at $676 brought 171.50. 6 at $739 brought 130.50. 8 at $754 brought 161. 116 at $779 brought 166.35. 7 head of heifers at $423 brought 166. 10 at $520 brought 157. 3 at $580 brought 133. 10 at $642 brought 147. 5 at $725 brought 148. 10 at $755 brought 128. Butcher cows were 11 to 73. Butcher bulls 47 to 88. Bred cows 650 to 1100. Pairs brought 1225. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Are there any beef eaters out there? Well, sink your teeth into this. The Elk City Rotary Club's giving you a chance to win a side of beef and a freezer to keep it in with the beef sweepstakes. Get one ticket for $25 or five tickets for just $100. Go by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City to get your tickets. Grand prize is a side of beef and a freezer. Second and third prizes are a quarter beef each. Winners chosen December 11th at 8 p.m. at Elk City's Christmas in the Park in Ackley Park. Beef up your Christmas and help some great local projects with the Elk City Rotary Club's Beef Sweepstakes.
Beef, it's what's for dinner.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, right. Beef is what's for dinner. I have beef almost every day. But some of you guys that know my wife, she likes chicken, so we have chicken every now and then. But it's not fake. But anyway, 65 degrees right now. The winds just keep going down, down, and down. 4 miles an hour now out of the west, southwest, and wind gusts are up to a whopping 6 miles an hour. So anyway, well, markets continue to show strength. And I'm actually been excited for the last 2 or 3 weeks. The market's been, the cattle market's been slowly going up, but man, those sales from Monday from Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, they've just proven my point. Things are getting good, and I realize we only got about 3 or 4 sales left before the Christmas break, but wow, them heifers over there were selling great. There was any of the 500 and 600 pounders bringing 11. To 1,200 pounds, but we got, what do we got here? Yeah, he does. Anybody out there knows anybody that has one, or if you have one for sale, there's a gentleman on here that's, he's an avid listener of mine. He's looking for a good used cattle squeeze chute. You can call him or text him at 821-0435. 580-821-0435. If anybody has a good cattle squeeze chute that you can part with or know where one's at, let this gentleman know at 821-0435. Cattle markets continue to show gradual strength in price improvements. After the price break in late August and early September, all live cattle futures contract prices have returned to and pushed into life of contract highs. Feeder cattle contracts have not pushed into new highs and likely won't given the feed cost situation, but all contracts show very strong prices. Underlying cash cattle and calf markets have followed suit. The five market weighted average has pushed into the $130 range, the first since 2017, and without mandatory cash trade, I might add. And while feeder cattle and calves have shown little or typical seasonal weakness, small calf prices have pushed into levels similar to what was seen this spring. And that ain't no joke. Over $2 per pound prices going on some steers and a few smaller heifers. What does the technical picture say? This week should be interesting, and I thought so too. Most contracts have broken resistance while having been pushed into new highs. This is what the market has to do to move higher, and this a buy signal. However, the move was weak, and with the softening momentum, further is marketing closing is here, and the number of hook reversals are plentiful, and there are even key reversals in some more distant contracts. These are often short-term sell signals. The technicals reveal the persistent pattern of gradual moves higher followed by periodic hard adjustments lowered. There is optimism and aggressive risk reduction. More of the same technically. The underlying fundamentals continue to paint a strong picture. Box beef cutout volatilities continue to drift lower following summer seasonal highs, but packer margins remain incredibly strong by historical standards. FI steer and heifer slaughter remain at elevated levels and repeatedly press on what I perceive as industrial capacity of 525,000 head per week. Saturday slaughter also is at elevated levels. Cattle on feed over 120 days and over 150 days continue the seasonal decline but remain above last year. The leverage remains with the packer in this situation, but the packer has a strong incentive to run as many hours as possible. Beef cattle slaughter also remains strong. The beef herd liquidation, at least partially, continues and will impact next year's supply. And there is no bearish news on the demand side. All indicators of domestic demand are excellent. Beef supplies are up, cold storage is down, and beef cut prices are high. Not as high as during the seasonal peaks, but very strong given beef supplies. Exports to China have been much talked about and are growing leaps and bounds, but I would encourage the reader to compare increases in beef exports to China to the decline in beef exports to Hong Kong. International demand appears to be remain strong, but also is not constant. There are solid underlying supply and demand fundamentals, and it's clear that the bottleneck in the packing sector remains. It is reasonable to have long-term optimism, but at the same time, be willing to periodically and aggressively reduce that risk. All right. On to some more news here. Get her put up here. So far, fingers are crossed. This fall-winter season has been much warmer than previous years. Past images of newborn calves being warmed up in truck and busy veterinarians made me wonder about the economic consequences of winter calving. Thanks to the efforts of many of you, we were able to collect data from ranchers and veterinarians to evaluate the financial implications of calving. We currently have a publication in the process with Dr. Eric DeVos and Dr. Dave Lawman and our former graduate student, Amanda Upton. Amanda successfully completed her thesis on the topic over the summer. Our goal was to evaluate the implications of the calving date on expected annual return per head for a cow-calf operation. We were working under the ideal that early calving was increasingly cold winters in January may lead to more veterinarian costs, higher death loss, and increased feed costs. We used this information from a survey of producers, veterinarians, and feedlots, as well as simulated programming to get some answers. Despite having really cold winters in recent memories, 62% of the producers strongly disagree that they've seen frozen ears, tails, and legs on their cattle. I know I go in a half a dozen or more different pastures, and I've seen some frozen ears, I've seen some frozen tails, and some other stuff from last winter. And as we all know, back in March and April, at all the vet centers in our listening area, you know how long them trailer lines was of getting bulls tested. So we had some. 10% of the veterinarians who worked with 501 to 1,000 cattle saw 0 to 2% of the cattle with frost damage. The average for a veterinarian call was approximately $70, and a cost of $5.70 was reported for most frost-related medication. Per the veterinarian survey, 48% of the producers do not typically seek veterinarian assistance with frost-related issues. Only 13% of the producers indicated they strongly agreed with the frozen ears and tails lets are a problem. 56% of the producers expected a discount per CWT at the sale barn between 0.01 pennies to $15 for frozen ears, tails, and legs. Despite the conversations regarding battling the winter elements as a cow-calf producer, the reality is that it's less of a problem than expected. Calving in mid-March resulted in high annual returns per head. Most of the producers we surveyed calved in March. 58% of the producers indicated that the calving date was part of their grazing management strategy, and 52% indicated it was part of their marketing strategy. There was non-management factors behind calving date as well. For 34% of the producers, they chose calving date was most convenient for them because the timing worked best with their off-farm enterprises. For 30% of the timing worked best with their off-farm job, and for 9% the timing worked best with their seasonal labor. In short, despite the popularity of news clips and 6 o'clock sound bites, the effect of winter weather in terms of frost damage to cattle was less of a problem than expected. Most producers were calving during the high annual return period of March. It's important to keep in mind that your operation may have other constraints such as labor or the other enterprise requirements that may make a different calving month a better option. Well, I'm going to say that some of these people out here in Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle didn't get this survey, because I know of a lot of people, and I was lucky. I only had one calf born during that 2-week spell, but I know there a lot of people were calving during that spell. A really good friend of mine down by Lake Texoma, and they usually don't get this kind of weather, lost 16 baby calves during that 2-week spell of heifers calving. He said it was crazy. He said, I have 4 people helping me that usually are not there. They were picking up calves as soon as they were born, take them to the warming barn, and come back, and they'd be 3 or 4 dead already, just in the time period they were gone. And out here, I know some guys lost some calves calving out in this area. So anyway, but they might be in that percentage of the producers that strongly disagree that they see frozen ears, tails, or legs on their cattle. So anyway, there we have it. Well, when we get back, we'll talk some more cattle. We've got the Long Ranger coming up, and just don't look good. No moisture in the forecast. So it's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. We'll be right back.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot, one connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Oh, one of our listeners from way down south by the Red River said, wind is blowing like hell down here at Hell's Corner. So it's, hey, just drive north and you'll get out of it because it's not blowing outside the studio right here. Hey, the old new Penny News is out, fresh off the press. And it's a big one this time, two sections actually. And we got all kinds of stuff going on, but let's turn to my favorite two pages real quick before we do the weather. Today in Ag, Elk City Livestock Auction, the Woodward Livestock Auction reports on there. The Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction is on there. The Hobart Stockyards is on there. And there it is. All my sponsors of my show, Hobart Farm and Garden, SEI Agritech, the Wheeler General Store, First National Bank, Great Plains Bank, Canucks and Irrigation, B&L Red Angus out of Putnam, Oklahoma. And then we have the Farmers Union Co-op right here in Elk City. And here it is, the Jimmy's Tip of the Week. Winter is here, so unhook those hoses and check that antifreeze. I know I told you this before, but winter's been delayed. But man, when winter gets here, it's going to come with a vengeance. So be sure and go get your pick up your new copy of this week's Penny News because it is well worth it. Great deal here. Let's do the Hobart Farm and Garden forecast. Let's update it, make sure I didn't miss something. And boom, there it is. 61 degrees right now. The west wind at 8 miles an hour. Here's our forecast. Sunny today with a high near 72. Winds basically nothing. Tomorrow, patchy blowing dust between 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. Mostly sunny with a high near 73. Windy with a southwest wind at 15 to 20 miles an hour, increasing from 23 to 28 miles an hour in the afternoon. Wind gusts could be as high as 40 plus miles an hour. But guess what? Tomorrow night, the cold front moves back in, and the wind will switch out of the west and become northwest by evening, and the winds are going to be high. Gust up 30 miles an hour out of the north. Saturday, way different to you. 20 degrees cooler, north winds, 6 to 8, so it won't be terrible, but it's going to be cool. Tomorrow night's going to actually be pretty low, too, and temperature 28. Sunday, high near 64. Monday, high near 70. Tuesday, mostly sunny, high near 75. Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 73 with no chance of precipitation anywhere in that deal. Next Thursday, 12 noon, at 1400 South Randall, right here in Elk City, SEI Agritech will be having the Livestock Nutrition Lunch and Learn. 12 noon. Livestock Nutrition guys will be there. Please learn more about feeding in limited pasture conditions, and there's a lot of that going out there. It's been warm. You hadn't been feeding a lot of hay, and the cows have been eating the grass that we had, but I've been noticing it. It's getting shorter everywhere, so come by and learn this. Get with Kent. Please RSVP with him December 14th by calling 580-225-0317. 225-0317. Talk to Kent and reserve your spot for that food that's going to be given away. All right. Well, there is your Long Ranger weather forecast. And then we're going to go to this right here. At the end of November, 69% of the U.S. was abnormally dry or worse, with over 53% in some degree of drought, D1 through D4. Most of our listening area right now, including the eastern Texas Panhandle, is in the D3 mode. Panhandle, northern Texas Panhandle, and all of the Oklahoma Panhandle are pretty much in the D4. They're in the dark red. It's not cool. The drought severity and coverage index is calculated from D0 to D4 categories and was 181 for the U.S. in the latest week. The weekly DSCI for the United States has averaged 171 for the year to date. The DSI can take values from 0 to 5, which is no abnormally dry conditions, to 500. 100% of the region is in a D4, which is an exceptional drought. And there's a lot of areas in New Mexico, Arizona, California, Washington, Oregon, Montana, Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota, man, they're in that D4, and I feel for them. It hurts. You know, we were in it for quite a few years here earlier in this decade, back in 2010, 11, 12, 13, 14, is bad. In the drought monitor, the West regions include 9 states, which is why I just rattled off. I forgot Utah, though. There, throw Utah in there. The West region has an average DSIC of 213 for the year to date and is at currently 212. The year to date average DSCI is highest for Utah in that region at 436. Holy crap. Followed by Nevada at 398. The High Plains region of drought monitor includes Colorado, Kansas, Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Wyoming. This region has an average DSCI of 208 for the year so far, and its current value is at 188. So far, the year, the highest average DSCI was in North Dakota at 318, followed by Wyoming at 258, with Colorado and South Dakota not too far behind. At this current time, in the High Plains region, Wyoming has the highest DSCI at 278, followed by Colorado at 268. The drought values above indicate how beef cattle operations are effective in various locations. However, broader cattle market impacts may occur depending on the severity of the drought and the size of the cow herd in various regions. Beef cow slaughter is up to 8.6% for the year to date and includes some drought liquidation, but from exactly where is unclear. I created a 80 HOC index and incorporates drought conditions as measured by the DSCI, and the number of beef cattle in these states that make up the West and High Plains region. With drought impacts heavily weighted, the 4 states of North Dakota, Montana, California, and South Dakota show the greatest likely impacts on the U.S. beef herd in 2021, with lesser national impacts in the Utah, New Mexico, Oregon, Nevada area, the rest of that deal. The annual cattle report due out January 31st of next year of 2022 will reveal exactly where and how much beef cow inventories changed along with the other cattle inventory data. Drought in the wintertime is generally not a major cattle market issue with limited exceptions such as winter wheat crop, which is winter wheat grazing. However, the extent and level of the drought in the U.S. at this time is troubling because of the potential for drought to extend into the next growing season, at least in some regions. With dry conditions persisting since 2020 in some regions, many beef cattle operations have already made significant adjustments and will have very likely flexibility on if the current drought extends into 2022. This could result in another severe round of cow liquidation in the first half of next year. A decade ago, severe drought caused the unplanned liquidation of some 2 million beef cows and affected the cattle market for several years, arguably up to current time. It is possible that it could happen again, and it's very possible. We haven't had a rain in here in 2 or 3 months, and our wheat pasture, I was in Custer County yesterday. Their wheat pasture is looking a lot better than it is over here in Beckham County and Greer and Ouachita, but it's dwindling. And, man, we just all need to pray for a very, very good rain. Well, what else can we? Oh, yeah, we got this. Christmas giveaway. Before I get off the air here today, I need to go over this. 4 businesses are giving away a $500 gift certificate to their store. Wendy Nissan, Bob Wire and Lace, and the Cherokee Trading Post and Boot Outlet, and Dameron Jewelers here in Elk City. Find the store's QR code, open your phone's QR app, hold this camera steady on the code, then follow the instructions. You can enter at each one of these one time every day. So you got plenty of time. You got 5, 6, 7 days going on here. Bob Wire and Lace is on Thursday, December 16th, Friday the 17th for Cherokee Trading Post and Boot Outlet, and Dammer Jewelers on Saturday, December 18th. Each of those businesses given a $500 gift certificate. Bob Wire and Lace in Elk City, Cherokee Trading Post and Boot Outlet, east of Clinton, Dameron Jewelers in Elk City, and Wendy Nissan of Elk City, all giving away $500 gift certificates. And last Friday, Will Stir won the one from Rogers Meat Market. So, right here in Elk City. So, you guys all have fun with that and get it done. I'm not allowed to play or I'd be doing it every break during my show. So, anyway, everybody have a great day. And God bless. You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
The biggest songs.
Great songs.
From the biggest stars.
Taylor Swift.
Dierks Blake.
Wow.
96.5 KECO.